Welcome to the Space Show, David.
Thank you very much.
Recently, there's been talk in the media about a comet which has broken up and may, in fact, hit the planet Jupiter. What's the story on that?
Well, I think the first story is that the comet's definitely broken up. There are 17 bits of it at the moment. It looks like a little string of pearls with sort of tails sticking off them. And it's definitely going to hit Jupiter around sometime mid to late July next year, although we don't have the exact details sorted out yet. By the time we get to that, to sort of June of next year, we will know pretty accurately where and when it's going to hit. In fact, they may even know the impacts to a matter of a few minutes. They're going to hit the backside of Jupiter. That's unavoidable. It's coming round from behind. So we don't actually get to see the collision. But the collision is predicted. There are two predictions, both of them that there will be a bright flash. One is that each bit of the comet as it goes in will produce a flash high in the atmosphere of Jupiter. The other is that it may actually produce most of its flash deep down inside when it's gone a fair way down. Both of those predictions expect the light that will be blasted off the far side of Jupiter to be bright enough to be picked up off some of the satellites, particularly Io, which will brighten by a few percent or even 100% according to one prediction, doubling in brightness, and the fainter satellites like Amalthea and possibly the ring around Jupiter will brighten enormously, huge brightening, just for a flash of a few seconds, perhaps a few tens of seconds. Again, these aren't absolutely known. So one of the observations that's proposed using infrared techniques, and I'll tell you why in a minute we use that, is to look for the flashes themselves and try and sort out these competing theories. The advantage of going to the infrared is that the planet, Jupiter, has a great deal of methane gas, and methane absorbs sunlight in infrared wavelengths around 2 microns, 4 times visual wavelengths. By absorbing the sunlight, the planet goes very dark. We only see it by reflected sunlight, so it's like a piece of coal there. So the satellites and the ring around it are much more easily visible. In fact, probably your listeners don't know that the ring around Jupiter, which was detected by one of these visiting spacecraft, I forget which one, is in fact quite easy to see with an infrared camera, because the planet has got faint enough that you can see the ring standing out. So that's one part, but there are more subtle observations that are hoped to be possible, namely that after each of these little nuclei has ploughed in, it's going to make quite a mess of the atmosphere of Jupiter. Now, there may be visible effects, and amateur astronomers with moderate telescopes will obviously be interested to see if the atmosphere has changed in some way. But again, by using the infrared, where the methane particularly dims the planet, if something's been disturbed, it'll be much more obvious. About 2 hours after each impact, the site at which it's gone in, this mess in the atmosphere, will rotate round onto the front face of the planet. And then we can start looking at all sorts of chemical details. We can look for molecules that have been disturbed, dust that's been thrown up into the upper atmosphere. All sorts of features may show. We're not exactly sure what, and there are still many ideas being put together. But by making observations, which we can do particularly well with the Anglo-Australian Telescope, by making those observations, we hope we'd be able to learn a great deal about the atmosphere of Jupiter in particular and about how it interacts with this sort of this collision. And collision like this, because collisions are one of the most important things in the planetary system. I mean, they shape all sorts of things, craters on the moon, mass extinctions on Earth, breaking up of asteroids, and all sorts of things. But this will be the first time anything like this has happened in our knowledge on Jupiter. And the estimates are that it would happen to Jupiter once every few hundred years. So it's really quite a rare event. It's got the planetary people very excited. I'm only sort of peripherally involved. Most of the excitement and activity is coming from the United States, but they've realised that we in Australia can offer them superb observing with our infrared camera IRIS on the AAT. So there's a lot of excitement building up.
So it's going to be a real testbed of all the ideas of planetary chemistry and planetary atmospheric dynamics and so on, isn't it?
It certainly is going to be a testbed of many ideas, yes.
And what about, will we find out anything about what comets are made of from the fact that presumably some of the vapours will remain in the atmosphere?
Yeah, there will be something there. It may be difficult to disentangle what has been dumped in by a comet from what has been dredged up from deep in the Jupiter atmosphere, and it may indeed be many years before we can properly disentangle that when other spacecraft observations are made. But yes, there will certainly be some information.
Will there be anything that the amateur observer can look at?
I think any amateur observer who is used to looking at Jupiter, sketching the patterns, has a large enough telescope to see the atmosphere, would certainly be well advised to monitor right through this period, because I predict that there will be some changes that will be visible. They may be quite small, they may be detailed spots where the lumps have gone in, or it may actually spread over large parts of the planet. I just don't think we know adequately.
So anyone who's interested in doing that would be well recommended to look at Jupiter over a long period of time, say starting now, so that they are well experienced in what to look for.
If people are not now experienced at observing Jupiter and sketching, noting what they see, then yes, it's good to get some practice. Of course, it's disappearing out of the sky now, so one would have to really wait until it comes back into the sky. I guess you get the whole season, you get about 6 months before the impact.
And why was this comet broken up?
It's an interesting story, actually. This comet, it's called Shoemaker-Levy, came into the solar system some time ago and actually got captured by Jupiter. And what that means is that instead of being able to go on its normal orbit of escaping again, it ended up orbiting around in a way that took it close to Jupiter quite frequently. And the last time it passed close to Jupiter, only within a year ago, it passed so close that the gravitational pull of Jupiter actually ripped it apart and broke it up into these 17, what's the current number, 17 little components, all running along virtually the same orbit, chasing one another. And the next time passed, it goes so close that it actually collides.
Well, thanks for that, David. Now, we're with Ron Eggers at the Australia Telescope. Ron, what plans have you got for looking at this rather interesting event?
The radio astronomers are interested too. There's not going to be as much extremely detailed interesting things to do, but Jupiter for radio astronomers is a very interesting planet. Jupiter has very strong magnetic field, and so it has what on Earth we call Van Allen belts, where there's plasma which is trapped in this magnetic field, and it radiates a lot of radio emission. And in fact, long before the space mission sent probes to Jupiter, we knew that Jupiter had this very strong magnetic field, and in fact it had been mapped out by the radio images. So the first thing that will be of interest is, will the comet actually affect the magnetic field? Will it distort or cause some temporary instability which will be reflected in the radio emission? That's the most obvious thing to do. There are only three telescopes in the world which can make these observations, one in Europe, the VLA in the United States, and the New Australia Telescope. So we will have a campaign to make sure that we're getting images with a continuous coverage in time to see if we see anything. More speculative is the possibility that the comet will trigger the kind of planetary lightning which has been picked up before. In the case of Jupiter, this has been associated with the satellite Icarus, which goes sufficiently close to Jupiter that it cuts across the magnetic field, and it actually builds up very high electric potentials and makes the equivalent of huge lightning flashes, which can actually be picked up at low frequencies. Now, it's possible that the cometary material going in through the magnetosphere of Jupiter might generate some similar phenomena, and there may be an attempt to look at that. We're not so well placed in Australia because the low-frequency radio telescopes in Australia have mostly been closed down, but we're looking into what's possible.
So we're sort of expecting a cosmic lightning bolt, lightning flash.
Yes, it's quite possible that that could happen.
Yeah, you wouldn't actually see it though, but you'd hear it on the radio.
Yes.
Well, thanks, Ron, for joining us on the Space Show.
Thank you very much.
And thanks, David. Mm-hmm.